So I'm here talking with you, and I understand the president is out west. He's talking to people out there, trying to explain to them why his energy policies are working so well. And I mean, the man can speak well, but I don't know, speaking about turning that story around is going to be harder for him to do than even some of the other things he's had to take on. How he can explain that his policies make a lot of sense, I don't know. He's going to be announcing that he's completing the lower half of the Keystone Pipeline, you know, the one that's coming from Canada. I'm just not quite sure what kind of impact that's going to have, given the fact it's not connected to that Canadian oil. So apparently the slipping poll numbers have convinced him to announce the lower half of that pipeline. If we can get his poll numbers just a little lower, we may be able to get the other side too. So let's get that job done. This campaign has been an extraordinary experience for my wife and for me and for our sons. Our boys have been involved in this campaign. As you know, I'm blessed to have five extraordinary young men, and they're able to go across the country and campaign. My son Matt really did the real duty. He and his wife went to the Northern Mariana Islands and to Guam. Although Hawaii wasn't a bad stop on the way home. And my son Josh has been up to Alaska campaigning and Idaho. It seems that where they go and I do best. But I appreciate that. But, you know, as I've gone across the country, I have been more optimistic because of the patriotism I hear, the passion for America, the innovative spirit of our people that is brought home to me time and time again. Just a few moments ago, I met with some folks who are in this audience somewhere, one of whom has a home improvement business, another who has a bus company, owns small and large buses, and gets contracts to move people around, person who's an engineer. I just find people of different backgrounds working very hard to provide for their families, and I become more encouraged and more optimistic as I meet everyday Americans. If you just watch the news, you get a very peculiar view of what we are, because by and large, the people who make the news at night are doing unusual things, typically not good things. They're either politicians or bad guys, or, you know, maybe I'm being redundant. And so I get the chance to see people across the country that love America and are doing things to make their life better and lifting the community at the same time. I also, however, am weighed down by some of the troubles folks are having. And these are tough times in America. Do you realize in the last 4 years, the median income in America has dropped by 10%? So you got a lot of families that are finding less to live on. And at the same time, the prices of things like gasoline have gone up and health insurance costs and food and clothing. And so expenses are more demanding and the income is less providing. We also have about 24 million Americans. I mean, it's an unthinkable number. 24 million Americans out of work or underemployed in this, the greatest nation on earth and the greatest economy on earth. How that can go on year after year after year is just inexcusable. The president, by the way, said when he was newly elected that if he didn't turn the economy around within 3 years, he'd be looking at a one-term proposition. We're here to collect, all right? We're going to get that done. And Ann, who is on her own campaign tour, she's in Wisconsin right now speaking there. She is telling me day in, day out that as she speaks with women, one of the things that she finds most frequently mentioned is the large debt which this country is accumulating. And she said she expected many other topics to be raised, but the idea that government keeps spending so much money and leaving a legacy of debt for her kids and for their kids is something which people are talking about. It's a topic that, you know, Republican politicians have spoken about for a long time, but now the whole country's talking about it. And it may be because the numbers we're throwing around are thousands of billions a year of deficit, or $1 trillion. And the idea of $15.5 trillion going to $16.5 trillion, probably by the end of this year, will be close to $16.5 trillion in debt, national debt. And then on top of that, there are the entitlements of Medicare and Social Security, which are critical and important parts of our national program. But they have made promises that have not been funded to the tune of $62 trillion on top of that. And so we're on a course which it could lead us toward a Greece-like setting. And if the world were to become concerned about America's ability to pay back its debts, interest rates could skyrocket. We could find ourselves with even larger and larger deficits, and then there could be an economic calamity unlike anything we've ever known. And so it's critical at this stage to have someone who understands what it takes to rein in the excesses. I'm hearing that across the country. This president promised to cut the deficit in half. He's doubled it. He told us to get us back to work and hold unemployment below 8%. Hasn't been below 8% in 37 straight months. He said he'd cut taxes for middle-income taxpayers. That hasn't happened either. This man is out of ideas and he's out of excuses. And in 2012, we're going to make sure we get him out of office.